can surround yourself with others who'll tell you what you want to hear, but there's really only one opinion that matters. And why don't you use the good brain God gave you and do your own research, because God promises to lead you in truth if you care what he thinks on these matters.
There have been tens of thousands of lives that have been destroyed because of this message that, number one, you can't be gay, number two, that God can change you.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Europe's Human Rights Court slams Russia for banning Pride. A West Sumatra city joins Indonesia's anti-queer crackdown. And a former ex-gay Australian challenges conversion therapy. Those stories and more this week, now that you've tuned into This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the 2 weeks ending December 1st, 2018. The European Court of Human Rights has slapped Russia with a ruling that bans peaceful demonstrations of LGBT pride as illegal. The decision, issued on November 27th, condemns the continued refusal by Russian authorities to approve organizers' request to hold LGBT rallies, which it said were in breach of their right to freedom of assembly. The court found that the usual justification for denying those rights, to preserve public order, were clearly motivated by the authorities' disapproval of the theme of the demonstration, and did not correspond to a pressing social need and was thus not necessary in a democratic society. The court denied the applicant's claims for financial compensation, however, saying that its ruling constituted sufficient just satisfaction. The case was filed at the court, based in the French city of Strasbourg, by seven Russian activists who had submitted a total of 51 applications in various localities to hold LGBTQ-supportive events, all of which were denied. Most officials also referenced the country's ban on the dissemination of propaganda for non-traditional sexual relations to minors to justify the bans. The ruling called on the Kremlin to implement a sustained and long-term effort to adopt general measures to remedy the problem. But based on previous responses to similar rulings against Russia by the European Court of Human Rights, Vladimir Putin is likely to also ignore this one. He's always insisted that there is no discrimination against LGBTQ people in his country. According to researchers, the number of hate crimes against sexual and gender minorities in Russia has doubled in the 5 years since he signed that bill banning so-called gay propaganda into law.
In the latest affront to Russian sensibilities, police in the country's fourth-largest city, Yekaterinburg, seized artwork created for a high school's drawing competition on International Tolerance Day as violations of the No Promo Homo law. 17 paintings were removed because they depicted gay love, including one described by a Russian website as including representations of different nationalities and silhouettes of same-gender couples. The headline read, "We are all unique. We don't get to choose looks, race, or orientation." Many of the drawings also featured rainbows. Officials said that it would take about a month to examine all the drawings for signs of gay propaganda. The school's principal denied that any of the drawings promoted non-traditional values, saying that they reflected universal human values, friendship, respect, mutual understanding, and acceptance of other people's values and views. A local lesbian activist identified by Gay Star News only as Mariah said she was disgusted by the latest use of the gay propaganda law. "Imagine being a child at that school. Instead of being rewarded for showing acceptance of minorities, you're punished," she said. So much for tolerance.
Authorities in Pariaman, a major Indonesian city on the coast of West Sumatra, are the latest to join the increasingly oppressive movement against LGBTQ people in the world's most populous Muslim-majority nation. Acts that are considered LGBT will be prosecuted as disturbances of public order and punished with a fine of 1 million rupiah, about $70. Deputy Mayor Martisan Mayudin told Reuters that it was part of the city's effort to eradicate LGBT. Under Indonesia's still generally secular laws, it's technically legal to engage in private consensual adult gay sex, although a proposal to criminalize those acts is pending in parliament. Strict Islamic law, known as Sharia, is already enforced in the province of Aceh, where those convicted of same-gender lovemaking have notoriously been caned in the public square. Irwan Prayitno, the governor of West Sumatra, said the new law in Pariaman tries to address the LGBT problem. At a minimum, he added, we're trying to prevent the population from increasing. Ironically, Pariaman in English means safe area.
Hong Kong's Legislative Council defeated a measure on November 22nd that urged the government to consider granting equal rights to same-gender couples. There were 24 votes in favor, 27 against, and 6 abstentions. Hong Kong's first and only openly gay lawmaker, Raymond Chan, proposed what was seen as a first step toward the legal recognition of lesbian and gay couples. He told the South China Morning Post that the government keeps avoiding studying policies for homosexual groups and said officials need to explain why they reject even such a small step forward. The paper said that pro-Beijing lawmakers, who hold a majority in the chamber, largely voted against Chan's motion. Councilmember Priscilla Leung said she opposed it to refrain from shaking existing marriage institutions. Although Hong Kong is seen as more progressive in attitudes towards LGBTQ people than mainland China, it still took a lawsuit earlier this year to force the city to grant dependent visas, routinely given to foreign spouses of heterosexual Hong Kong residents, to married foreign same-gender spouses.
And Hong Kong citizen Nick Infinger filed suit on November 22nd against the city's housing authority for denying low-income public housing to him and his spouse because they're a gay male couple who legally married in Canada. Attorney Michael Vidler, who represents Infinger, won that lawsuit forcing the city to grant visas to the foreign spouses of same-gender residents. He told the South China Morning Post that it's easier to believe only foreigners would be gay, lesbian, and transsexual. But the fact is, the vast majority are permanent residents born and raised here. Vidler maintains that Infringer meets all the eligibility requirements. He's married, both he and his spouse are permanent Hong Kong residents over the age of 18, and neither own any domestic properties or exceed the limits on income or assets. But in rejecting Infinger's application, the Housing Authority cited the Oxford English Dictionary definition of husband as a married man, especially in relation to his wife, and said Infinger was therefore not eligible. Vidler said the agency's refusal to accept his client's application has deprived the couple of the chance to live together, as their heterosexual counterparts would be able to do. Acknowledging the notoriously long wait for subsidized public housing, Vidler said his clients are not asking to be treated differently. They just want to be on the waiting list.
We told you last week that Bermuda's Court of Appeal ruled in favor of marriage equality in a roller coaster battle over rights in the North Atlantic Islands Supreme Court that began more than 2 years ago. The government has 21 days from the November 23rd ruling to file one last challenge to equality at the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council, the Court of Final Appeal for the UK's overseas territories and crown dependencies. There's been no word to date if Bermuda officials intend to do that. The Court of Appeal refused the government's request for a stay, so Bermuda's major industry, tourism, has already resumed offering romantic weddings at sea on cruise ships flying Bermuda's flag to lesbian and gay couples. We also reported last week that voters in Taiwan went to the polls on November 24th and overwhelmingly approved referenda to deny civil marriage to same-gender couples, but approved the creation of lesbian and gay civil unions. Taiwan's constitutional court ordered lawmakers to open civil marriage to same-gender couples in a landmark ruling in 2017. It automatically becomes the law of the land in May of next year if the legislative yuan fails to pass a bill by then. A spokesperson for the judicial yuan this week confirmed previous reports that referenda cannot overturn rulings by the constitutional court. A government spokesman suggested this week that a civil unions bill is in the works that would grant all the rights of civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples except the name. But if such a measure is passed, activists will almost surely return to the constitutional court to challenge it as a less than equal violation of its 2017 marriage equality ruling.
And finally, a New York Puerto Rican lesbian couple claimed two firsts this week with one action. Shirley Figueroa and Lizette Gutierrez donated a 72-foot Norway spruce from their home in Wallkill, about 30 miles north of the city, to be the Christmas tree towering over this year's festivities in New York's Rockefeller Center. According to the New York Times, it's the first tree donated by a Hispanic couple or by a same-gender couple. Figueroa and Gutierrez said they named the 75-year-old tree Shelby because they sensed she has a female spirit. Gutierrez was at first reluctant to have the tree uprooted from their property, but she said ahead of the lighting ceremony this week that she's going to get the jewels she deserves. Shelby is now decorated with 50,000 multicolored LED lights and crowned with a crystal-encrusted Swarovski star. Her remains will be donated after the holidays to Habitat for Humanity to help build low-income housing. It's estimated that some 800,000 people will visit the tree during the holiday season. "Now, it's not our tree," Figueroa said. "It's the world's tree."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the 2 weeks ending December 1st, 2018. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at the always updating thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters.
I'm Harvey Milk. I'm a supervisor in San Francisco. And I'm gay.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights.
Today, being gay is not a crime.
This is going to lead to the legalization of same-sex marriage.
Today, I finally get to look at the man that I love and say, "Will you please marry me?"
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Cher was watching the parade with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull.
Feels so wholesome.
For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org.
Purported conversion therapies are spreading around the world as fast as legal bans against them. At least when it comes to parents forcing their children under the age of 18 to endure such therapy, laws to prohibit licensed mental health practitioners from attempting to change those patients' sexual orientation or gender identity are on the rise. There's no law against religion, however, and breathing a sigh of relief, an anti-conversion champion in Australia is putting one of the world's leading redemption-preaching so-called ex-gays under a microscope. This Way Out Sydney correspondent Barry McKay chats with the best-selling author about his forthcoming self-published book.
I was convinced I was gay. That's what everybody else said. And though I was on swim team and football team and track team and I was an Eagle Scout and I went hiking in the Rocky Mountains, I had two motorcycles and I could do anything any boy could do, it didn't heal me of my damage, cleanse me from my defilement, or convince me I was a man among the men. I hungered for masculine love.
Pentecostal and so-called ex-gay speaker Si Rogers is a controversial figure and one of the subjects of a book currently being written by Australian author Anthony Venn Brown. I caught up with Anthony in Sydney recently to talk about his new book, The Quest to Cure Queers.
Sing a song of sad young men. Kiss your dreams goodbye.
I'm Anthony Venn Brown, and my claim to fame is that I was a high-profile preacher here in Australia, preaching in all the mega churches like Hillsong. But before that, I was actually one of the first in the world to go through an ex-gay conversion therapy type program. Married for 16 years, two lovely daughters, then I fell in love with a man and came out. Wrote a book called A Life of Unlearning, A Preacher's Struggle with His Homosexuality, Church and Faith. That became a bestseller, now in its third edition. And so I'm currently working on a book called The Quest to cure queers, which is the history of gay conversion therapy going right back to the 50s to the current time, which is why I have a special interest in Cy Rogers, because he's one of the major players in the whole movement.
I embraced a gay identity as an exchange student in Brazil. I came back to America and promptly joined the Navy and did what a lot of people do. I lived a double life. I even went to everything from the gay bar scene to later involvement in a gay church, and I was the best man at a gay wedding in the state of Hawaii. And interestingly, that couple who went to a gay church, and they were gay, but they did love God, they read the Word, and they one day wrote to me about a year after their marriage, I was in university, and they said, "Cy, we suggest you do what we've done. You start reading the Bible for yourself, because we feel convicted and convinced that the way we are living is not God's best for us. And therefore, you can surround yourself with others who'll tell you what you want to hear, but there's really only one opinion that matters. And why don't you use the good brain God gave you and do your own research, because God promises to lead you in truth if you care what he thinks on these matters." They said they were now born again and praying for me, and I thought they were crazy. And my way to be born again, I said, is to throw away my failed masculinity, since it had only brought me shame in a sense of inadequacy.
Who is Cy Rogers and what is his background?
Cy Rogers has been a leader within the ex-gay movement for some decades and would be extremely well known in evangelical, Pentecostal and charismatic circles. Supposedly an ex-gay person himself, and he was president of Exodus for a number of years as well. And he also helped launch the whole ex-gay style ministries in Asia and also in South America.
What are the issues surrounding Cy Rogers' sexuality and sexual identity that make Cy's story so complex?
It's very complex, Barry, and this gets very confusing, particularly for people in churches who are listening to him as the supposed expert on sexuality and gender identity. He had a very, very troubled childhood. And then when he realised that he was same-sex attracted, did what a lot of people have done, you know, just went quite wild and thought that he would find love in the gay world and slept with lots of people. But then there was some confusion about his gender identity, and then he was already for a year and a half living as a woman, was in the John Hopkins program, and just before he was going to go under the knife, John Hopkins ceased the gender assignment surgery and he became a Christian.
Cy is now married to a woman. How does that fit into the equation?
I find that very easy to explain, Barry, and I've actually written on that and coined a phrase called situational heterosexuality. When people say to me, "How come you can be married when you were gay?" I say, well, it's very easy. Just as heterosexual males or heterosexual females can be in a same-sex environment and they have same-sex sexual experiences, so we as gay people can be in a situation such as a marriage to someone that we love and respect, and we can have an intimate sexual relationship with them. Take us out of that, and where, of course, our orientation is always towards the same gender.
How does Cy identify now? Does he identify as heterosexual?
That's a good question, because it gets quite confusing. You get lots of different messages from Cy. So if you read his story in depth, you will find that he will mention about his transgender identity and wanting to change to a woman. Then he'll talk about his times when he was attracted to men and was sleeping with men, etc. And in the gay scene, and you know that awful term that we all hate, the gay lifestyle that he was living. And of course, when people in churches are sitting and listening to his story, they can't figure it out really either, because they are not well educated about sexual orientation. Some transgender people are attracted to the same gender. Some transgender people are attracted to the opposite gender. The orientation wiring and the gender wiring are very different in the brain. So you can't say whether he was a gay man or he was a heterosexual man or he was transgender. It's very, very confusing.
Can I ask what sort of message is Cy preaching now these days?
Cy is preaching a message which is about brokenness. This is the new buzzword that's being used a lot within those circles. because they don't want to be saying that they are against homosexuality or they're against the gay community or anything like that. So they're using very, very nice terms, spiritual terms. Sexual brokenness is what he talks about.
In my years of ministry, I specialized in addressing sexual and relationship issues. Yay! 38 years of ministry around the planet addressing the thing that church culture's done such a good job with. But having been around the block a little while, I love to say it is a better day because the church is becoming better equipped. Rather than judging and rejecting and lamenting and criticizing and excluding, we're becoming equipped with insight and understanding and empowerment. We're learning to put a redemptive face of God out there in the world that they will know this is the God you run to. And then we're also learning to make disciples of a sexual generation, because if you've been born again, about 10 minutes, you will know that the blood of Jesus washes away the guilt, but not memory, not history, and not your vulnerability. That's the stuff we have to learn to reckon with, but reckon we can.
The problem, of course, is that within the church situation, and he speaks to thousands of people all over the world, because they see him as a very feminine man, and because of his story, which he gives repeatedly, and because they know about his background, they make all sorts of assumptions about him being gay. Now he's straight, because he's married to a woman and he's had a couple of children. Here's an interesting thing, Barry, is that when I met with him in 2007, because I like to reach out to people in dialogue, I asked him the question, what about all these lovely young people who are now accepting their sexuality as young Christians and that they're gay? And he says, I never preached a reorientation message. Now, we were having a confidential meeting, so I didn't feel that I could challenge that or expose that at that time. Since then, I've met a lot of people, other ministers, who said that Cy said the same thing to them. The question is, why isn't he making that public now? If he really no longer believes in reorientation, people change from gay to straight, he should be saying that publicly. But why isn't he doing that? One reason is that he would lose probably about 90% of his invitations to speak.
There are still many videos and publications created by Cy some years and decades ago supporting the ex-gay theory. How can these now be challenged?
Well, my article that I wrote on Cy after we met has now become the, it's on the first page of Google. Sometimes it's number one and above Wikipedia and even above Cy Rogers' thing. I think Google's just very clever that they know when there's good content. people want to know, is he gay? Is he bi? Is he transgender? What is he?
So it's Syrogers.
Correct.
Yeah.
One of the things that really upsets me, Barry, is that there are people out there, ministers, and I've had them on my Facebook wall saying, well, if Cy Rogers could change, why couldn't you know? Or I hear of Christian parents giving tapes or videos, you know, to their kids going, well, Cy changed, so you can change as well. I've sent that to some of those to Cy previously, and I've put it on the website, Cy, how can you talk about a reorientation message knowing that these young people, some of them are in depression, some of them attempted suicide, and some people killed themselves because of a lie. So if anybody has any Cy Rogers stories, they might like to contact me, and it will be confidential, and they can email me at info@abbi.org.au. And you can also find articles about Cy Rogers on our website, which is www.abbi.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.
Could you repeat the email address, please?
Yes, I could. It's info@abbi, which is abbi.org.au.
How have things moved on since then? Does Cy still believe in the material that he was putting out, say, 10, 20, 30 years ago?
No, he wouldn't believe the same anymore. There are definitely changes. His message has softened a lot. if you see him speak, he's very, very popular. He speaks at all the big Hillsong conferences and megachurch conferences around the world. People love him as a communicator. And he talks about stuff that others won't really want to talk about, which is about sex and sexuality. But it's all clouded in very, very nebulous terms, you know.
What damage has been done by the ex-gay theory Psy espoused?
Oh, my God, if only we knew, you know, to have the data on the damage. But let me say this. There have been tens of thousands of lives that have been destroyed because of this message that, number one, you can't be gay. Number two, that God can change you. And we know that not only have people's lives been destroyed, but we've also lost lives. And I'll be talking a lot about that within my next book. Let me just give you this quick example. I heard from one guy who told me that when he was in the ex-gay movement, he made 20 friends, only 4 are still alive, 1 died of natural causes, the rest of suicide. That's how horrendous this is, and it must stop.
Is Psy's story different from other people who have claimed to have changed from being gay to being straight?
The stories are all very, very similar. You know, they all had a terrible life, the relationships didn't go well, they got involved in drugs, you know, substance abuse, etc., etc., then they came to Jesus. But as I've been researching for this next book, The Quest to Cure Queers, one thing that I have noticed and has been consistent, and Psy would fit in this category, I'm going to have a chapter called These Three Things Abide: Denial, Deception, and Willful Ignorance. But the greatest of these is willful ignorance. And as I research right back from when this whole ex-gay reparative therapy, gay conversion therapy thing started in the 60s, right from the word go, there was denial, there's been deception, and there's been a terrible willful ignorance to really understand what sexual orientation and gender identity are about.
Anthony Van Brown, thank you very much.
Thank you, Barry.
This is Barry Mackay in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out.
All the sad, sad, sad young man.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Wenzel Jones, produced with Brian DeShazer, and from Barry McKay. Roberta Flack performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of our listener donors who make this program possible. You can lend a hand by visiting thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGNU Boulder, Fort Collins, Ward, Colorado, WHYRLP Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.